Psalm 77. So this psalm, we know or see that it's written by Asaph. Asaph, what I could tell, he's written about 12 different psalms, and he was a Levite. And we read in 1 Chronicles 16 that David had assigned Asaph and his relatives to give praise and psalms of thanksgiving to the Lord. And some would consider him to be the chief musician. David assigned him to minister before the Ark of the Covenant continually, offering musical praise and thanksgiving to God. So this Psalm 77, we're going to see Asaph and his emotions. We're going to see someone that's dealing with, and we don't know what the situation is, but whatever the situation is, it's caused him a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, a lot of struggles. He's going to be speaking straightforward and honest with his struggle. And this crisis, we're going to see Asaph, it seems to be questioning God and kind of wondering what's taking so long with the struggles that he's going through, and questioning God about the circumstances that are surrounding him and the struggles that he's going through. And we're going to see how he deals with it, and we're going to get some encouragement from that, and hopefully some encouragement from us and how we can overcome, and we can help others to overcome as well. I'd like us to get to that point as well. So we're going to read the first two verses of Psalm 77. My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. Asaph is crying out loud to God. He's literally crying to God for help. And maybe you've been in a difficult situation. You've been either with someone or by yourself and just crying to God, please help me. And as you and I endure the trials and the pains of life, you know, we can relate to this, the pleading to God to help in the difficulty. And Asaph says, and he will hear me. You know, he knows that God hears him. But the difficulty still exists, and we can relate to that, don't we? As people, as we have faith in God, even though that difficulty is going on, and we know he hears us. But even though he's totally consumed by this distress, and even though he hasn't got that answer to the prayer yet, he continues to pray in confidence to God that he will hear him. And if you look at verse 2 there, you see that he had continued this apparent praying about this tragedy to be praying day and night. You know, he doesn't give up. He doesn't just say, okay, God, I'm going to just go a different route here and figure it out on my own, you know. And so that's encouragement for us. We have to realize that God's timeline is not always ours, is it? And so he continues to pray day and night that my soul refused to be comforted. It's so overwhelming that there's no place, there's nothing anyone can say, there's nothing that anyone can do to offer him anything. He knows his help has to come from God. Even though, you know, we can try to encourage one another, when that difficulty first happens, a lot of times there's no consoling, is it? There's just listening, and there's just helping and just being there for one another. And so for Asaph, he couldn't, his soul refused to be comforted. Well, now let's look at verses 3-6. When I remembered God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. You have held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart and my spirit ponders. You know, believing and remembering God would help him, but he still continues to experience the sorrow. Says he can't rest, the tears and the distress at night, you know, the loneliness that he must have felt at this time. And we have to realize that, you know, as I said earlier, God's timeline is not always ours. And so that it's never instant, that relief. It would be great if it was, wouldn't it? It'd be great if we could just say, God, help me through this. And boy, he just flips that switch and okay, everything's all better. But that's not the way life happens. And as it never instant, and that relief from the pain when it, you know, when things happen, and we see Asaph has that hollow feeling, that empty feeling, you can kind of sense. He says, my spirit grows faint, and he can't even speak about it. He can't even talk about it. He says, I'm so troubled, I can't even speak. But in his despair, he remembers his past walk with God. And that's what happens a lot of times for you and I as we go through sorrow. We remember those good days, don't we? Especially when someone dies and passes away, we have those happy memories. Well, here you think about him, when the trials and troubles occur, he's remembering that confident walk that he had before with God. And in his despair, the troubles occur. God hasn't changed, has he? God hasn't changed. He's remembering that time that he sang with confidence towards God and meditated on God. And so he wants to get back to that point, back to that, not feeling the sting of the sorrow, but saying, God, you're in control and I'm going to let you help me through this. Just like I had before this thing happened with me. So let's read on with verses 7-9. Will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? As he contemplates what has been, he asks, you know, six questions. It seems to be kind of rhetorical in a way, if you look at that, but he's asking, but they, you know, during the, he's definitely questioning and pondering about this trial and trying to endure it. You know, I'm not sure if was sin involved that led to this sorrow. You know, we think about David and what he went through and God punished him in taking his son. And so when you think about that, he says there, or has he in anger withdraw his compassion? Many times it's hard not to feel rejected and think, what did I do? Did I do something? And so we have to realize that God is a compassionate God. He's going to help us through that situation. They seem to last forever, and we want to go back to the way it was before. And sometimes we know that sorrow and trials, they will and can last for the rest of our life. We can have something that's on our heart for the rest of our life. And God, in asking God's, when is your blessings going to return? Well, his blessings haven't left, have they? It's just that he is so grieved right now in this sorrow. He asks, where is mercy and grace and loving kindness and compassion are? Asaph wants this pain to ease, doesn't he? And that's what you and I can relate to. Let's read on, verses 10 through 12. And then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on your work and muse on your deeds. As he begins to turn himself to God after realizing God hasn't changed, He is the same God during good times and hard times. Let's look over in Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Moses is recalling to the people that God will deliver them. If you look at verse 6 there, he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail or forsake you." You know, so many times in the Old Testament, we see the Jewish people, the Israelite nation, continue to struggle and question, don't we? And so Moses, in his last words to them, that be strong and courageous. Know the power of God. Do not be afraid and tremble, for the Lord your God goes with you. You know, you think about that, he's reminding them that deeds of the past are the hope of your future. And you think about that for you and I, the deeds of our Savior on the cross are the hope of our future. We have that hope of eternal life through God and that ability to be strong and courageous and not be afraid and tremble. Asaph, back in Psalm 77, remembers the history of God's love towards his people. You know, he's thinking of the past and he thinks of the current good and the good that he's going to do. You know, we think about remembrance. Meditate on what he's done for you, basically, he's saying. Meditate on his works. And for you and I, the encouragement there is to, you know, as the struggles are happening, meditate on what God's works are to his son. Let's read on verses 13 through 15. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have, by your power, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. You know, Asaph starts to recount the attributes of God. Are God's ways holy? Does God know what we need? Do we really believe that? That God knows what we need in every situation? It's difficult sometimes to understand why things happen, isn't it? Our ways are simply not God's ways. God's ways are holy. He knows better. We can't say God doesn't know what we need. He knows what we need and when we need it, doesn't he? But we sometimes can't grasp that timeline, can we? Sometimes it just takes time. It takes prayer. It takes a lot of help. Let's look at a couple other scriptures because I want us to think about what God has given us for help. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. We're probably familiar with this scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, and who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape so that you are able to endure it. God has promised that that when we're tested, we won't be tested beyond what we can handle. And that's a promise sometimes that's very difficult, especially when the struggle or the trial that you're going through is happening. We do not have control over our own lives many times. And as we think we do, God is the one who that is in control. Asaph remembers God has, he says there, God has the power to redeem. He worked wonders among his people. Did God work wonders among his people today? What and how does he make his redeeming power known to us? Let's look at 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1. Verse 18 through 21. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your fathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he has foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We have been redeemed. You think about there back then, they continued to see God redeeming them, getting them through the difficulties, didn't they? And so now you and I, the redemption, the redeeming power of God is through the precious blood of Christ, isn't it? That's why we can have hope. And he says there, your faith, that show that your faith and hope are in God. God demonstrated his awesome power in works in front of the Jewish people over and over again. And they should know it. They witnessed, as Asaph said, they witnessed his wonders. Now he demonstrates his glory and power through his son, doesn't he? Through his son and the forgiveness. His strength is made known to us through Jesus. We can know it, and we can have faith and hope in it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Their hope in David's days were through the wondrous works of God, knowing that he's all-powerful. And for you and I, let's look at Hebrews 10, verses 23 and 24. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he has promised is faithful. What are we to do? Hold faith to the confession of our faith, right? Confession of our hope without wavering, for he has promised is faithful. And then what is we supposed to do? Look at verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. You know, you think about that. You think about that from the second part of verse 14 there in Psalm 77. You are the God who works wonders, who have made known the strength among his people. What about that struggling brother and sister that can't get past that difficulty? Are we not supposed to be the ones to help to encourage them in that time of need? Their hope in David's time was the wonders of God. We need to be the ones to help point our brothers and sisters back if they're struggling. Don't give up. Don't fall back. Don't waver. Don't quit. Don't neglect the salvation that you've received. Those type of encouraging words. But what should we do knowing that we should hold fast to the wonders of God? And how? Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. You know, I'm one of the first people. I'm always one of those people that remind us that our struggles and trials need to be when those difficulties are happening, We need to not rely on anybody else but God. I'm one of the first people that'll tell you that, because that's the truth. That's exactly where the power is. But we got to remember that there's weaker brothers and sisters, isn't there? There's weaker brothers and sisters that sometimes that struggle. So what I want to do now is I want to encourage us to love and good deeds. I want to look at a couple of scriptures for those that are struggling, that need encouragement. You know, always the aspect of relying on God is always there. And there's no doubt that. But we are his instruments. We are to love and good deeds. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, reminding them in verse 10, for we are his, what? Workmanship. Well, you think about that, you know. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before so that we would walk in them. What good is it to have that workmanship in you if you're not doing anything with it to help someone? You know, he gave us his promises that each one of us is going to be able to help, be able to make it through the difficulties. But for you and I, if we're stronger, are we just going to wait until the next trial to put that to work? That's not what God wants us to do. And I'm reminding myself, as well as you brothers and sisters, to stimulate one another, to encourage one another to love and good deeds. You know, you think of Asaph there in verse 3. His spirit was growing weak. We have some of our number that are struggling, and their spirit is growing weak. And you think of Asaph and the struggles and the 6 questions that he put before God, whether it be rhetorical or not, those are real. And those are struggles that we wonder, where is God's compassion? Where is he at? And it relates to, as brothers and sisters are going through difficulties, we can reach out to one another. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 1 through 3. For we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even though Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Now you think about that. Where does our strength come from? Our strength comes from God. But here we have an example of showing them God's strength, bearing with them, helping them, and helping them, reminding them that God hasn't rejected them. Let's look at another scripture. 1 Thessalonians 15. First Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. You think about that. He's urging the brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted. You know, so many times you think of, you know, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, that term. You ever heard that old term? And so, but he tells the Thessalonians that There's going to be ones that are faint-hearted in amongst you. There's going to be ones that are weak, and reminding them of the promise and grace of God is what you need to do. Showing them his compassion in very simple ways. Help them, you know, bring to their mind what God has done for them, even though they're in a difficult situation. Let's look at one more scripture to help reiterate this point. Galatians 5, verse 14. Galatians 5, verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, Paul taught the Galatians here that through love, we are to serve one another. And then in doing that, what does that do? By loving your neighbor? This is where you can answer my question. The law is fulfilled by loving your neighbor, by loving your brothers and sisters. That's what we want, don't we? We want the law to be fulfilled. We want our brothers and sisters to be stronger. And so my encouragement today is to look around today and think about the ones, and I'm reminding myself as well, that may not be here, and the encouragement that a phone call or a visit or just check on them, they're one of their family members, and pray for them. So let's go back to Psalm 77. Look at verse 16. As we finish up this psalm, 16 through 20. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know, Asaph is remembering God as a redeemer, and it's causing him to recall. He's causing him to recall the great acts of God towards his people. The deliverance of the Egyptians, the fire and the cloud that led and protected the people he might be referring to here. You know, the awesome power of God we're seeing here. And so what we just looked at some scriptures a minute ago, we can fulfill the law or we can fulfill those things that God has promised and show his power and faith to our brothers and sisters, can't we? God was with his people the whole time, even though they panicked and were fearful. God didn't leave them. God doesn't leave us to cope with our suffering alone. We think that, and sometimes, but with faith, we do know better. Many times we see, you know, the images of God and Christ in scripture and used the picture of a relationship with a shepherd leading his flock, doesn't it? And the picture should always be of in the good times. You know, we're not out front in the good times. He's still leading us, isn't he? And so for the difficult times, knowing that as a shepherd, he's going to come searching for us, isn't he? He's going to send something to help us if we'll reach out to it, whether it be we need to look to his word. We need to look to pray more. We need to let him be in control. Whatever it is, Asaph, we see here, knew that God at all times would lead him, didn't he? And let's look at one other scripture in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Able to do far more abundantly beyond what? What does he say? Beyond all that we can ask and all that we can think. And my little small brain sometimes, you know, to fathom that he can do anything. And so far more abundantly beyond what we could even think. The power that works is where? Within us. That's the beauty right there. And so, you know, you think of that, you know, we can't think, we can't fathom, but where's it at? Even though we can't think, it's within us. Isn't that amazing to think that power is within us, but we have to let him help us to get that power, don't we? To let that power work is what I mean. That power works within us. His power can change our life. His power can work to overcome anything and change anything. His power is stronger than any sin or trial or difficulty. And Asaph meditated on how God used that power to deliver his people. And for you and I, we can do the same thing, to meditate on how God can help us through trials. He put his faith in the fact that God has all power. And it's no different for you and I, is it? To realize that God has all power to see us through. We have to be like that as well and have faith in God's love and his wisdom to make it whenever our spirit grows weak in the difficulties.